armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important this is?
You have any idea?
Really, this is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, but I don't know much, but I know one thing. Man, I'm getting tired of this IL stuff with the Atlanta Braves. I don't care what you got to put them on. Full of roids, whatever, baby. Let's go.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Latest news for the Atlanta Braves. We'll get into it in a minute. But Sam Hilliard has been put on the IL. It was diagnosed as a right heel contusion. Basically, they don't want it to get worse, so they're putting him on the IL. Whether or not he'll be back in 10 days, your guess is as good as mine. I'm hoping that's all it is. But remember, we had a similar situation with Dansby Swanson, and he was out much longer than that. So we'll see what happens. But in that corresponding, we knew something was going to happen with the pitchers. We just didn't know that he was going to have to get hurt for it to happen. But Seth Elledge has been brought up, and we'll get into that in a minute. Danny Young was DFA'd. So we'll see if he makes it back to us. We'll see if there's a path for him or if someone. I kind of figure someone's going to grab him. I think Danny Elledge has actually been pretty good for the Atlanta Braves. And there you have that. Tonight, right here on WQEE, the Chattahoots, 7:05, first pitch. Alpharetta Aviators at Veterans Field. And the pregame show will come on at 6:50. So if you're listening on WQEE, make sure to lock it in as Chattahoots baseball coming your way. If you're listening to us on YouTube, we will once again, I mean, pretty much the way we have designed this, I haven't really got into it much. The short of it is, we're going to be bringing you almost every Atlanta Braves game play-by-play from now until end of October. There's only Sundays are going to be hit or miss. We're always going to put the chat up. And then the only other games that I won't be able to do play-by-play because I plan on physically being in the stadium is we are going to Boston, going to go to the Boston game, but we are going to put the chat up. I've got someone who's going to orchestrate that. And they will have the chat up. And then I'm going to try to chime into the chat from Fenway Park. I've never been. And so I'm excited to go for that. It's a pilgrimage. Look, there's a handful of stadiums. Would I love to go to every single stadium? Absolutely. Because I like to compare them all. But as far as you're talking about bucket lists, Fenway Park has to be at the top. I want to go back to Wrigley Field with friends. I've been to Wrigley Field one time, and it was a solo mission because I was moving out of town, and I didn't want to say, well, I lived in Chicago, never went to Wrigley. I went to the White Sox stadium with the Sarge. He was living in the Chicagoland area, but we could never make it to Wrigley together. And anyways, right before I moved, I was like, man, I got to go. And I remember telling this story before, but short of it is, I went to a game in Wrigley that was a day game. I was in the bleachers. That was a must for me. And it was a wild affair. It was a high-scoring game between them and the Marlins. And I honestly can't remember who the hell won the game. I want to say it was the Marlins, but I can't remember. I just remember having a blast. But I'd like to go and experience that with my wife and friends and everything like that once again. So that's back on the bucket list because I never felt like I really enjoyed it the way I wanted to. If you're talking about other ones, I want to go to Dodger Stadium. I've heard great things about it. I've heard that the skyline is beautiful to just go to Dodger Stadium and catch a game. Preferably Braves, but I would watch any game in these stadiums. And I want to go to San Francisco. I think it's still called Oracle Park. They keep changing the names of these stadiums. But in my head, it's always the new Candlestick. But I would love to go to that stadium just because how cool would it be to see McCovey Cove in the background? I mean, what I would love to do one day is get in one of those damn paddle boats. They have several different versions of them. But basically, one of those paddle boats that are back behind the right field wall in McCovey's Cove and paddle around and hope you get a home run ball. But even if you don't, who gives a damn? It's got to be a blast. I'm assuming, I've never seen the vantage point from the back end of it. I'm assuming you can see the game somehow, that they've got some kind of a big screen back there. Because there's always people back there in canoes and other different floating devices, and they're back there chasing the balls. That would be a blast. It's got to be a day game, though. It is always cold in that damned city. And I'm not getting out there on a night game. I don't care what time of year it is. It doesn't matter what time. If you turn on a San Francisco Giants game, they play in some cold temperatures. It could be in the middle of July, August, and you will see people bundled up that live there because they're wearing San Francisco jackets and they're worn out. You know they didn't just buy it off the street. So, but I do really want to go to that stadium. The Seattle stadium's a little interesting to me, but it's not appointment viewing for me. Same thing with San Diego. I went to the San Diego park, didn't get a chance to watch a game there, but I went into the park and walked around one day when I was out there. But it's an okay. I think it would be fun to watch a San Diego versus Dodgers game. I think that would be fun. Just sit back there, eat the popcorn, and watch and go, look at these people. They hate each other. That would be fun. If you're looking at the Texas, if I've got to pick one or the other, I guess it would be the Rangers' new stadium. But they both look pretty cool. I really want to go see a game in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been to the stadium, but it was during the off season. And so we went outside the stadium, but I've never seen a game. I would love to see a Braves-Cardinals game in St. Louis. And as far as others, I've seen a game in Queens at Citi Field. I've seen Yankee Stadium, so those are off the list. Obviously, I've been to Braves games. Unfortunately, I've been to the Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium. Ugh, you can have those back. If they build a new one in Tampa, that I would probably want to go see that. I want to go see a game the first year that the Nashville whatevers have a game, because that is coming, my friend. That's going to happen in the next 10 years, probably sooner than that. But I'm saying bare minimum by 2033, we have a Nashville. The name I keep hearing is they want to name them the Stars after the old Negro League team, which would be cool. And it also coincides with the fact that Nashville's full of stars, right? And wasn't there a TV show too, the Nashville Stars? Wasn't that like a ripoff of American Idol? I think that's what it was called. But anyways, I want to go to see the Nashville Stars play whenever the hell that is. And other than that, I went to Kansas City. Love that stadium. That stadium was fabulous. I mean, it was outstanding. there really wasn't a bad seat in that ballpark, and there's nothing, and I'm just a big fan of water. Who the hell isn't, right? The waterfall was amazing. Now, we were sitting up in the nosebleeds. I've told this story before, but the short of it is we were sitting up in the nosebleeds, and the game was a blowout on Father's Day. The crowd started to disperse. It was Cardinals, Royals, Father's Day. We saw Albert Pujols hit 2 home runs. And I remember at the time, my chef, my supervisor, my teacher, it was the chef at the culinary school that I went to. We were in the stadium, and he was a baseball fan, and he was a football fan, but he didn't really know the game. You know, he enjoyed it, but I remember telling him, I said, just remember this day. I said, we just saw Pujols hit 2 home runs. That dude's heading to the Hall of Fame. He's like, he is? I was like, trust me, that guy's heading to the Hall of Fame. This was right in the middle of his – this is probably a couple of years before he signed to go to the Angels. So it was already – he was in the middle of that historic – run, whatever it was, 4 to 6 years that he did. He was right in the middle of that where he was hitting, you know, 30 bombs and, well, 120 RBI, and his batting average was through the roof. His OPS was 1,000. That was a cool one. Other than that, I can't think of a lot of stings. There's some ones that intrigue me. If y'all got any that you want to get off your bucket list, go ahead and throw them into the chat here on Braves Country HD on YouTube. But the other one that I would like to go to, because I went to a Reds game years ago when it was the dreary drab, what was that, Riverfront Stadium. I used to always get that confused with Three Rivers in Pittsburgh. But Riverfront Stadium, it sucked. It was on... first of all, we were sitting up in the nosebleeds in a football stadium watching a baseball game. That's number one. The only cool thing about it was a playoff game. The other thing was it was artificial turf, and like you would look out there, and there was no rain that day, but the field looked just soaked and kind of wore out. It was terrible. I want to go to their new stadium, the Great American Ballpark. That looks really cool. And how cool would it be to go see Braves, Reds? And, I mean, we might be talking about that as a playoff possibility this year or next. How cool would it be to go watch Acuna and Ellie, the unicorn as they call him, watch them square off? That would be a lot of fun. I think the Pirates stadium is pretty cool, too. I don't know a whole lot about the city of Pittsburgh. You know, you kind of hear mixed reviews if you've never been to a place. But the backdrop that the Pittsburgh stadium has is really cool with the gold gates in the background. That looks pretty cool. The Baltimore Stadium looks cool, but I know for a fact the Baltimore is not a great place to go, so I don't know if I would want to go to the Baltimore Stadium. But if I was in the area, I'd have to go to an Orioles game. Have to. Nationals game, not unless the Braves are playing. That stadium has no personality. Same thing with Toronto. If I was in Toronto for something else, I would go to a game. But that stadium has no personality. To me. I could be dead wrong. But it doesn't feel like Colorado, though. That would be cool. They brew their own brew there. You're bound, especially you go to a day game, you're bound to see a middle of the summer, you're bound to see a 17-15 shootout like we had last night in Atlanta. That would be really cool. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I got some clips. Travis Darno got extended last night, if you missed that. And got some clips about the game last night. And also, we got audio from a Snicker. We got audio from Darno. And a little later, Anthopoulos had some stuff to say. And I think very interesting. One of the most, one little clip that no one paid attention. I can't believe there wasn't a follow-up. But I'll let y'all hear it before I react to it. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM WQEE. Tonight, Chattahoots right here on the key, taking on the Aviators, baby. 6:50. Pre-game show, 7:05 first pitch. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in. Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Don't you understand? This pool is our bootstraps, and it's lifting us up into the middle class, dude.
Well, just accept the fact that you're white trash, all right? Take a look at yourself. You can't do backflips. You don't know karate. You're white trash.
Want to chime in? Give us a call. 678-960-9700. That's 678-960-9700. Welcome back! The Braves lineup is out, and Eddie Rosario is back in it. How about that? So I guess that's good news, because they didn't make it sound like it was long term, but they never do. And the next thing you know, we're like, where the hell is this guy, Jesse Chavez? You remember when Jesse Chavez went on the IL? The day before, they were saying it was nothing, and now out of nowhere, where the hell is Jesse Chavez? Dylan Lee. What is going on? So we see Rosario back in the lineup. Look, I'm fed up with his defense as well, but he brings a good stick, and you're just going to have to deal with the fact that he doesn't play a great – he plays – it's not like he doesn't play hard. If he didn't play with effort, we would be a little more upset. That's just a fact. It's a fact he's just not that good at defense. And you've got two outfielders that can hit in Ozuna and Rosario, and neither one of them can play defense. Everyone kills Ozuna for his defense, and rightfully so, but no one ever brings up the fact that Eddie Rosario can't hit a lick. Our best defensive player in the outfield, and I'm including everybody, would probably be Michael Harris II. And obviously, Ronald Acuna Jr. But just a ring below those guys is Kevin Pillar. I love what Kevin Pillar brings to the table. He can absolutely pick it out there in the outfield. That catch that he made last night was unbelievable. And it seems like every time he's out there, he makes catches like that. Actually, he made two catches last night. He's made three in his last two appearances where you're like, there's no way Eddie makes that catch. There's no way Ozuna makes that catch. It dumbfounds me that we don't see him in there more, especially when there's a lefty on the mound, and even more so when we get a lead. There's no way this doesn't happen in the postseason. But when we get a lead in the regular season, man, I'd still like to see it. It's not like these regular season games don't count at all. Let's not get too complacent. We're still a long ways away from winning this division. And if we continue with this blasé type of, well, you know, it is what it is, and we'll be okay. The next thing you know, we're going to be in an actual divisional race. And I don't want that this year. I want to bring it back to the 90s when we just cruised to the end. And that was it. And by the way, the Braves' magic number, if my math is right, is 59. So we got a long ways to go. Wins, for folks who aren't familiar with what a magic number is, it means how many games the Braves need to win and the second place team needs to lose in your division to win the division. Now, that seems like a huge number, but every time you win or your opponent loses, you knock a number off. But any way you slice it, to feel comfortable about this, we need to go like 40 and 20 down the stretch. And we're about to hit that 102 mark. Because when you hit the 102 mark or even the 100 game mark, that's when I really like, all right, we are in the stretch run. And we're about to hit that. I believe it's next week at some point, late next week. Okay. Let's go ahead and Travis d'Arnaud gets extended. Now, what it was is they actually picked up his so if you remember, if you followed this last year, Travis d'Arnaud signed a one-year deal with a club option. And there was a club buyout if they didn't want to pick it up. What the Braves did was they said, hey, we want to go ahead and pick up your club option. We want to do it early, but we want to add another year to it at the same price. So you're almost just rolling it forward. The difference is this time, because he is an aging catcher, there is no club option. Or, I'm sorry, there's a club option, but there's no buyout. So that's the difference between this one. You'll hear them talking about it like he wasn't going to be a free agent per se. He could have been if the Braves didn't pick it up. And the Braves may not have picked it up, or they may have threatened to not pick it up, if they didn't get that extra option. But what this does for them long-term is that they can continue to develop guys like Chadrick Tromp down in the minors. They could even make Tromp a part of a package, right? A lot of times these things are not by accident. If they still think that Tromp is a few years away and Travis d'Arnaud, I would prefer to keep Chadrick Tromp, but eventually Chadrick Tromp's be like, dude, I'm pretty good. I'm sick and tired of sitting down in the minors, rightfully so. But what I would like to see long-term is Chadwick Tromp come up. Maybe you develop him a little bit at first base so he can get some at-bats. But anyways, that's a different part of the story. Here is Travis d'Arnaud. We'll listen to him first about the extension.
So just thankful that they were thinking the same thing about me and wanted me to stay and wanted to stay.
Everybody in the clubhouse and even Snit himself said they're so ecstatic to have you back for next season. How does it feel to get that much love from the entire clubhouse and everybody?
It's humbling. It's an honor. I just try to be a good person every day, and I'm just thankful all these guys love me as much as I love them.
Alex was saying, he expected to do this. I know you were hoping to do it. Was there ever, I guess you wouldn't say it was expectation. It was more just a hope that this eventually happened.
Yeah, it was a hope that it would happen. Like I said, just thankful that it did and thankful that everybody wanted me to stay another year.
How about just he said he was thinking, wanted to sign you in 2019. How quickly did this become a home and You know, how nice is it to know that you've had a home here for 4 or 5 plus seasons now?
For me, pretty instantly, with how much the city welcomed my brother when he was only here shortly. You know, that 2020 year was funky when there were no fans here. But when 21 started, I could tell they loved me and they welcomed me, and I'm thankful that now this will be 4, next year will be 5 years to be here. I'm just thankful. Everybody jokes around, everybody smiles, everybody laughs. It's something that's hard to find. The coaches, the staff, everybody, Orlando, always jokes around. I truly can't wait to leave home to get to the ballpark every single day, and it's something that's rare, it's not very common, so it's something that's another reason why I wanted to stay.
Compared to other clubhouses you've been in, how does this clubhouse compare to others?
I don't really like comparison questions. This clubhouse is fun. I mean, I don't want to talk about other clubhouses besides this one. This one's fun. We all joke around, like I said, and throw jabs at each other, which is rare. But it's nonstop. I think it gets you just get over it quicker instead of overthinking it.
Alex said that the bulk of the negotiations were done today. Was this an easy negotiation from your perspective?
Yes, very much so. I wanted to come back. I was hoping they wanted me to come back, and really quick, easy, and right to the point.
Did you expect to talk about it today when you came to the ballpark?
We talked a little bit about it yesterday, so yeah, I kind of expected to talk about it today.
Okay, so yeah, that was Travis Darnold, and for folks who might just be joining us, he was extended. So in theory, if the Braves want to hold on to him, and granted he's an aging catcher, I think he'd be 35 at the end of the contract at this point. Have to double check that real quick. But he, Travis Darnold, for all intents and purposes, they plan on having him here through not just this year and next, but the following year. Yeah, he's 34, so he will be 35 next year. So I'm a little off on that. So for them to pick him up, they'd pick him up at age 36. Whether or not they'll pick him up at at age 36, I don't know. That's a very good question, but we'll see what happens with that. The other thing is what this does is it, and I'll tell you what I'm most happy about is that he is willing at this stage in his career to sit behind Sean Murphy. Now he knows he's going to get his at bats and he knows he's going to get his starts behind the plate. We know that. First of all, no one's going to stay healthy the entire time. The other thing is, they like to get Travis out there about 2 times a week, which is pretty regular for a backup catcher. I think if you play 7 games in a week, he might even get 3. When we get towards the postseason, I think they'll play the hot hand. I really do. I think they're going to go, well, who is hitting better at this stage? Is it Darnold or is it Murphy? Or at the designated hitter position, is it Ozuna? But right now, I think they're trying to keep a lot of these guys fresh. And that's one way to do it. The other thing this does, it opens up the fact that what you can do with other dollars going forward, possibly extensions. Remember, it's usually about this time of year that you start seeing the extensions from the Braves. Now, they've extended so many guys, there's not a whole lot left, but you never know what the other shoe could be that's going to drop. You don't know if they're going to try to do, if they're going to try to redo the Ronald Acuña Jr. contract, which still has a lot left on it. But let's be fair, he's outperformed what he's done so far. And if he wants to stay in Atlanta long term, he may be willing to give us a quote-unquote hometown price. He may not. Regardless, we've got him under contract for quite some time, so if he doesn't want to re-up, it's really not that big a deal for the Braves, because at that point, they'll probably trade him to try to rebuild I know it's a horrible thing to think of right now, but we're talking about 5-6 years from now. So that's going to be a thing that Atlanta is going to be dealing with as well. And then, of course, we also have guys like Ozzie Albies. These are guys that gave very good deals to the Braves, and the Braves could ride it out, or they could try to lock them down for even longer and give them a little more hay. I still wonder what the chances are that Max Fried resigns, but Anthopoulos said something that makes me think it's a little more optimistic than what I thought it was before I heard him say this. We'll get into that in a minute, but you never really know what's going on behind closed doors, what gears are grinding. And if being happy and winning and in a locker room that you enjoy, the camaraderie, the guys that you like playing with, if that's more important to Max Fried than absolutely stretching his ultimate dollar, then so be it. I can't judge a player either way. If a player like Dansby Swanson, who walked away for more money, and it was a considerable amount more money, as opposed to staying where he was and where he was from, that became more important to him. And I do think something had a little to do with the fact his wife was from the Chicago area. And she had lived in Atlanta all that time. And now he's basically saying, it's my turn to do something for her. But he was getting a lot more money. Now, granted, their tax situation up in Chicago, Illinois, is a lot different than Georgia. But all in all, he was going to bring in a lot more money. The contracts that we heard rumored, realistic, not the goofy ones you heard on from, you know, dopey podcasts or whatnot or on Twitter, talking about real hard numbers that we heard, there was about a $50 million difference, somewhere between $40 to $50 million difference between what Darnold was going to sign for here and what he got up there. So Freddie Freeman was a little dumb on Freddie's part. Now, he's made his bed and he's lying in it, and I'm sure he's happy, he's fine. But he made a minuscule amount more per paycheck, and we broke this down when it first happened. Won't go back into all those weeds, but if you take away the different tax angles, you could make an argument that in certain circumstances, he was actually making less for the entire contract when you look at the AAV and the tax, because California state tax is through the roof. That one was dopey, but I think he got caught up in the emotion, and I think his whatever his agent's name was, I can't remember the one that he called out, and then they got into it, and then he fired him, and the agent said, oh, no. I think the agent basically did Freddie a disservice, did a terrible job. And anyone that would continue to go to that guy needs to have their head examined, because there was definitely some untruths told. And when he came back to visit that very first series in Atlanta, and you saw how emotional he was at the press conference, they'll never talk about this, not in the near future. But something was said behind closed doors where basically he was finally told what really happened. Because normally during the process of the free agency, a lot of times these players are not involved. They just let their agents handle it. And whatever he was told, he finally realized, holy crap, I could have stayed and I would have been happy with what was being offered. So the signing of the Travis Darnold, the extension at a very reasonable rate, realize something else that it does. Think about big picture. If he is still performing well, and he's 34 now, he'll be 36 in 2025. At the end of 2024, this is the first thing I thought of when I saw that. Marcell Ozuna comes off the books. And though he's played much better these last couple of months than he has, we'll say, the last year and a half before that. They're not re-signing Marcell Ozuna. He's making 16 this year, 16 next year, and there's a very good chance that he's going to expect somewhere in that neighborhood. And the only way they would re-sign him is at a very club-friendly, and I don't even know if they would re-sign him at that point because of his age, and he brings nothing to the table defensively. So you could in theory, have a situation where Travis Darnold, Chadwick Tromp, Sean Murphy, the three of them are a three-headed catcher-designated hitter scenario. And you give everyone days off, and I would love that idea, assuming that Tromp continues to develop and becomes a good hitter. You don't want a dud. Not where this team is right now. You don't want a dud in the lineup at any point in time. Atlanta took a hard loss yesterday, and man, that was a roller coaster. That was a seesaw battle. Braves lost a game where, I mean, just looking at the numbers of that game is a little mind-boggling. First of all, I couldn't believe this morning when I heard, and I'm sure you heard it in the sports flash, that it was the first time in Major League Baseball history of the sport, that what, 12 teams scored double digits in the same day in Major League Baseball? That's remarkable. And eight of those teams played against each other. So four games you had double digits. Four games you had scores of 20 or more. That's even more remarkable to me, because typically in Major League Baseball, when you get a high-scoring game, one team's blowing the other team out. The other one just gives up, whatever, dude, we'll see you tomorrow. And they put their bozos in to pitch, and everyone's just up there having batting practice. But yesterday, they were very highly contested ball games. We know what the Braves did, and we'll hit on that in a second. But if you missed about what happened around the rest of the league, what about the White Sox-Mets game ends up 11-6? I couldn't believe it, because we're doing the game last night, and I'm usually giving score updates and looking at the score, and I kind of forgot about the Mets game. Because at one point, they were up 11-4, and I just like, all right then, let's call it a day. And by the way, Cookie Carrasco, what a disaster this guy's been for the Mets. Mets fans have got to be fed up with him. He's one step forward, two steps back. I saw him with the huge lead. I was like, wah, Carrasco must be dealing. And then, in fact, at one point, I think it was 8-2 or something like that, and they were heading to the fifth. I was like, man, all right. He doesn't even make it out of the fifth inning to get the W. Giolito got bombed. As much as everyone's been talking about Giolito, I mean, included, because he's been looked much better this year, he got bombed by the Mets. I don't want anything to do with him now. You can have Lucas Giolito. I don't care about him. If he's going to get bombed by the New York Mets offense, I'm out. You can try to talk about spin rate and everything else. You can have him. But that game was 11-4 at one point, and the Mets barely hold on 11-10. That's one of the games that went down yesterday. There was another 11-10 game. What I'd like to know is has this ever happened? I guarantee it hasn't. But three games were 11-10 yesterday. Giants and Reds. This is another game that I wasn't really paying much attention to, and the Giants came roaring back and scored four runs to go up 11-8 at one point. They were going punch for punch. Yesterday, Weaver versus Disco Stick, and that doesn't surprise me at all, because Disco Stick has just been a dumpster fire the last part of the season, the second half of what we've played so far. And Luke Weaver is just, he's not a Major League Baseball pitcher at this point. I don't know what the hell the Reds are doing, but they need to get him out of the lineup. If they're going to make a real run at a wild card or the division, Luke Weaver's got to be gone. You got to DFA him. There's got to be someone you can bring in off the scrap heap that's better than Luke Weaver. He has got a 7.22 ERA. He went 2 2/3 yesterday, gave up 4 earned runs. And this is not something, like, oh, he's just having a bad year. No, he's been terrible for a long time. So that was your other 11-10 game, Giants knock off Cincinnati. And then the other one after that was Royals-Tigers. This is the one that surprised me the most. Like, the hell are the Royals and Tigers doing scoring 21 runs? Royals, by the way, at one point were up 11-10, and they came back and scored 4 runs, Detroit did, in the top of the 9th inning. And it was a little concerning. Remember yesterday we were talking about how Barlow was available, and Barlow was everybody's favorite, and he's been pitching really well. He gave up 4 earned runs. Finally closed the door. Maybe it's got something to do with it. He just didn't go in there with a sense of urgency. But 4 earned runs in 1 inning against the Detroit Tigers. I don't know if I'm wanting any part of that. Shreve, by the way, and Cisnero went out there and fired. Cisnero, check him out. He went out there and pitched 1 inning, struck out the side. Talked about him yesterday on the wish list. Really hoping that we get either him or Shreve. But last night with the Braves, you look at this game. Let's hear from Brian Snicker real quick, and then we'll clean it up on the other side.
One of them days, whatever, didn't get by with anything. I thought, just had a couple of back-to-back ones now that I told him, you just got to fight through them. It's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. I think it was a little more than that, probably.
Field out there tonight for you,
Norman.
How nice was it to see Austin?
Yeah, it was good. It's somebody asked me about him the other day, and I said, that's one guy I don't ever worry about. He always gives himself a chance to get it going, regardless of where he's at. I stopped worrying about him a long time ago, because I know at some point he's going to get hot. And it was great. Well, we kept coming back, as they did too. You know, it was just, it's like a Coors Field game right there.
Feel like a sloppy game. I mean, in some ways.
A couple of ways. I mean, yeah, there were some balls that we normally make that we didn't. And but you know what? We're going to play 162 of these things, and every now and then you're going to play one of them. But the guys kept roaring back. You know, we just had a hard time putting them down. They're pretty good too. And they're an aggressive team, and they don't strike out a lot. They put the ball in play and use their speed, so. Yeah.
What did you see from the pitchers today?
They gave up too many runs, probably.
Was it something that?
No, it wasn't anything anybody didn't do. It was one of them games. That's all. They're not going to be perfect every time, like nobody is in this game. None of us are. They're going to have days that aren't going to be real good. We've had a whole bunch of days in the last 3 months that have been really, really, really good. We're going to go through spells. It's not easy doing this, navigating an entire. There's there's nothing wrong. You know, we'll be right back at them tomorrow.
Was there an update on Sam Hilliard?
Yeah, he jammed his heel going through first. Early in the game, and it just couldn't go. You know, those things are rough trying to run. So, it was just, you know, I probably hit the bag wrong. And that's a big man when you do that. So there's going to be a lot of torque that's going to end up on his heel. So, you know.
Too early to know, like Danby did a couple years ago? Or
I don't know anything about that, yeah.
How about Travis? Did you hear about his deal?
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy?
Yes, I was happy. I was ecstatic that he's going to be around here for.
So, the tail end of that, because it got kind of wonky, so we had to clip it off. But he basically said, I was ecstatic that Darnold's going to be around here for possibly the next couple of years. And once again, if you're just joining us, Travis Darnold was extended just before first pitch last night. We got the news pretty late and was, you know, kind of reacting to it live on the air. But he is going to be an Atlanta Brave at least through next year, if not the year after. It is a club option with no – the big thing to me is there's no buyout. So the club option with no buyout, you don't see those – they're very rare nowadays. Typically, you end up getting the club option with a buyout, and it's sometimes it's minimal, but sometimes you're sitting there looking and going, okay, well, I remember specifically the one with Peterson, Jock Peterson. The question was, did they pay the buyout? And I want to say it was two, but if you kept them, it was going to be around six. I might have those numbers a tad off. And I think they thought they could sign him. Maybe it was 2-8. I think 2-8. And I think they thought they could sign him if things didn't work out for six or less, so they basically wouldn't lose any money. And that's not what happened. He ended up going out. So he took the two from Atlanta. He ended up taking seven, I believe it was, from San Francisco. So it's little things like that that they have to kind of play into the whole thing. And it's just, it's huge for Atlanta to not have to, all they have to worry about now is, do we want to pay Travis Darnold, who will be 36 the year that they're picking it up? Do they want to pay him in 2025, $8 million, which is very reasonable for a catcher, obviously. Backup catcher, you can make an argument that it might be a tad high. But considering what he brings to the team, I don't think it is. Especially considering the fact that, like we laid out a second ago, he could be a every day or every other day type player in the lineup when you throw in the designated hitter. Which is something we never used to have to think about as fans of the National League. What you usually did was you just said, all right, let's go ahead and sign this guy, sign that guy, sign this guy. We don't want to pay this guy that much. We got to put more into the pitching. Now you have to factor in the fact, well, we're going to have an answer for the designated hitter role, because you can't just put a dud out there. There are teams that put duds out there at the designated hitter role. I think of teams like San Francisco, who just kind of use it as a part of a platoon, and you don't have a real threat at your DH. And don't get me wrong, they've had some good seasons in San Fran, but when you get to the playoffs, are you really worried about that lineup torching you? You're really not. What you're really looking at is, all right, we may be able to make the playoffs, but what the hell are we going to do once we get there? And so then they're scrambling at the trade deadline. So I love the extension by Darnold for Darnold. Tonight's game, look, that game just got away from us is the gist of it. That is the pure and simple fact of it. That game got away from us. And we were able to get back in it a few times. For folks who missed this wild seesaw of an event, Braves were down 2-0 in the first, then went up 5-2 in the first. Top of the second, we go down 7-5. We're then down 8-5 in the bottom of the fourth, and we score four runs. Go 9-8, a three-run bomb by Riley. Then we make it 11-8, and you're starting to really smell yourself. You're like, all right, let's go. Let's go. And then we cough up four more runs in the top of the sixth. We squeeze ahead one. We get up 13-12 in the bottom of the sixth. And I was thinking at the time, I was like, man, the first to 20 is going to win this. And then the Braves don't score another run. Arizona ties it in the eighth. And in the ninth, tied up at three apiece. Everybody wanted to kill Iglesias. Sorry. That wasn't him. And once again, the Atlanta Braves scorekeepers, spit the bit. Iglesias was charged with two earned runs. It should have been one at the most. There was also three errors in the game. There should have been at least five. And I've counted it up over the last several weeks. When we play at home, the Atlanta Braves typically get away with an uncalled error about once every 2 to 3 games. Why is that? Well, you don't want to hurt the defense. You want to get gold gloves. But you're also hurting your pitcher. And Honest Engine, the ball that went underneath the glove of Olsen should have been called. And they have got to do something, and I mean got to do something, about the fact that our pitchers are not covering the first base bag. When the ball gets hit to the right side of the infield, every pitcher knows, go to the bag, whether you're needed or not. You'll figure it out. If you're not needed, you'll veer off and get out of the way. But there, and it's not just one pitcher, so I can't just jump on one guy. It's the collective. We have not seen good defensive work by our starting or relief pitchers, for that matter, all year long, except for when Max Fried's been on the mound, which has been very, very rare. Strider doesn't do a terrible job. Charlie Morton does a pretty good job, but then again, Charlie Morton's a little older and a little longer in the tooth, so you have lower expectations. But I'm not even talking about being an outstanding defensive player. I'm talking about just making the bare minimum plays. Cover the damn bag. That's got to come to an end. And as much as he wants to pound his chest about his infield defense, blah, blah, blah. Wash, this is you, buddy. You're the one that is supposed to be in charge of the infield defense. And the pitcher covering the mat. Yeah, the pitching coach is involved in that as well. But that is realistically you. Now, a defensive error in general, I'm not going to blow my lid on. If it's a guy who's doing it all the time, you're like, all right, well maybe he just can't play this position. But guys are going to make mistakes. It's a long, grinding season. I get that part of it. You can't expect these guys to be mentally and physically perfect 162 games plus. But when you're not covering the bag, I mean, the Heller thing, was it Heller or Tonkin. Hey, he comes off the mound and stops and then starts and then stops. What are you doing? Anyways, when we come back, we're going to hear from Anthopoulos. Take a listen to Anthopoulos. And he's got something that he says I think is very revealing about Max Fried. But I'm going to let you all judge for it. I'm not going to overreact until you hear it. We'll be back in a flash, top of the hour. You're listening to Braves Country HD. Braves Country Today on WQEE.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Major League Baseball, full slate, beginning with this afternoon. Teams are in action, and we'll get you up to date on what's going on in the day games. Marlins at the Cardinals, Guardians at Pirates, Dodgers and Orioles, Rays and Rangers, Astros and Rockies, along with Red Sox and A's, all on the matinee slate. Tonight, 7:20 first pitch. We'll have play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll try to even up the series tonight as the Braves lost a wild one 16-13 on Tuesday night. Today it'll be Charlie Morton going to the bump versus Ryan Nelson. The Braves are -225 on the money line. Over under is 10. 6:40 first pitch, Brewers at the Phillies, Rhea versus Sanchez. Philly -165 on the money line. White Sox are at the Mets. Tuki Toussaint versus Justin Verlander. Mets -220, over under is 9. The Nats are at the Cubs at 8:05 first pitch. Hendricks versus Williams. Yankees at the Halos. Carlos Rodon versus Southup. New York -140 on the money line. Over under is 8.5. Padres at Blue Jays, 7:07 first pitch. Darvish versus Berrios. The Giants are at the Reds. Stripling versus Ashcraft. It's a pick 'em, over under 10.5, 7:10 first pitch. Tigers at the Royals, Erod Day for Detroit, and your late pitch tonight. The Twins are at the Mariners, Kenta Maeda versus Luis Castillo. Seattle -155 on the money line, over under is 7.5. Major League Baseball yesterday, something happened for the first time in the history of Major League Baseball. 12 teams had double digits. 4 games where both teams scored 10 or above. Those 4 games were your Braves versus the Diamondbacks, 16-13, the final. Mets and White Sox, New York, 11-10. Giants beat the Reds, 11-10. The Royals beat the Tigers. It was also 11-10. Might be a good time to go play blackjack with 3 of those 4 games totaling 21. College football, San Diego State remains a member of the Mountain West. Pac-12 is announcing they will have a new rights deal in the near future. Vanderbilt basketball is hiring John Calipari's son to the Jerry Stackhouse basketball staff. Duke and Baylor will face off in Madison Square Garden on December 20th, while the Atlantic Coast Conference will begin airing football and basketball events on the CW this fall. CW has secured rights to 50 ACC games beginning September 9th, with Pitt's football game against Cincinnati being the first. 13 football games will air on Saturdays on the CW, which will also broadcast 28 ACC men's and women's basketball games through December, January, and February. The ACC will have men's basketball doubleheaders on CW every Saturday and women's basketball doubleheaders on Sunday afternoon. Raycom Sports, which had the rights to ACC events from ESPN, sold its rights to the CW, but will continue producing them. The CW has not aired college sports events, but is the exclusive home for LIV Golf. The numbers are in. The Netflix documentary Quarterback that has been scoffed at by the critics is also falling flat in the ratings. Quarterback, the series, is generating about 60% less than expected in the first week or so. In a misdemeanor simple assault charge against Tennessee Titans outside linebacker Rashad Weaver has been dropped, according to a report in the Tennessean on Tuesday. The criminal case was closed and Weaver's trial, which was set to begin Tuesday, was canceled, the newspaper reported. The charge was tied to an incident that happened outside a bar in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, April of 2021. A woman told police that Weaver grabbed her by the throat and pushed her to the ground, where she ultimately hit her head. According to the Tennessean, records display that the prosecutor decided to no longer pursue the criminal charge. Weaver played college football at Pitt before the Titans selected him in the 4th round of the 2021 draft. And the Los Angeles Dodgers left-hander Clayton Kershaw threw a bullpen session on Tuesday, the latest step towards his return from left shoulder inflammation. While the Atlanta Braves announced another move this morning, Braves select right-handed pitcher Seth Elledge to the Major League roster, placing outfielder Sam Hilliard on the 10-day IL with a right heel contusion. They released Danny Young from the roster in a corresponding move. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
It's summertime, and that means the return of all the fun and excitement of Chattahooch Baseball at historic Golden Park. Bring the whole family down for a night of fun. Tickets start as low as $10 with a discount for kids, seniors, and active military. Or celebrate a special night at the park with a group package or suite night. For game dates and more, visit GoHoots.com. That's GoHoots.com.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the all-American man.
If I could change anything about basketball, it'd be to get rid of the X Games.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the armchair quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Welcome back, Braves Country. Braves Country HD on YouTube.com and 99.1 FM WQEE. As we are riding along here, just a quick reminder, 6:50 first pitch tonight, the Chattahoots, 7:05 first pitch, 6:50 pregame show, excuse me. They're taking on the Aviators. So if you're on 99.1 FM WQEE, make sure you jot that down as in the thick of the Chattahoot season. And if you're scrolling around on YouTube tonight, Braves Country HD, we got you covered. Braves versus Diamondbacks, 7:20 first pitch, Charlie Morton Day, which is becoming more and more of a happier day as he pitches. He has pitched really well recently, and hopefully he can keep it up. Charlie Morton on the bump tonight, going up against Nelson. Nelson, very much like Zach Davies last night, if you're wondering what he's about. We'll get into the breakdown of the game in a second. But Ryan Nelson gives up a lot of runs. So the Braves ought to be able to score. Let's hope Charlie Morton can keep the scoring down. We all know as the summer bleeds along, not only are the pitchers tired, but the ball flies in the warm weather. So you get higher scoring games from time to time. Last night was obviously a little bit much, but it is what it is. What I wanted to play for you real quick, it's kind of a, well, I think you'll get a lot out of it. It's a clip from Anthopoulos talking about the extension of Travis d'Arnaud, who's now locked down for all intents and purposes the 2025 season. What that means, what he means to the team, and I want y'all to hear this first before I react to it, because I heard it, I went, whoa, what did I just hear? Listen to Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I've said it before. You know, even when we brought Sean Murphy in and people were speculating on trades, and I even told Travis, like, maybe finally people will stop speculating on trades now. I said it so many times over. You know, he's not going anywhere. He's here to stay. I've said it. He's really the glue for us in my mind. He's part of the furniture here as well. I mean, he's just so key. Obviously, on the field, he's fantastic, and what he does behind the plate is fantastic. But everything he brings and what he means is just I can't say enough about him as a person. It was a no-brainer to keep him here, and the fact that he wanted to stay.
He's, you know, coming into this year, we knew he was probably one of the most important people in that clubhouse, and maybe even just the personality and just the attitude he has maintained while, you know, maybe taking a little bit lesser role. Has that just been
yeah. Added to his character? Yeah, and it wasn't a surprise, right? And even, you know, before we made the deal for Sean Murphy. I talked to staff as well and mentioned I was going to talk to Travis, and they all were confident how he'd react and how he'd handle it, and he's been so good, and he's been great on the field and in the clubhouse, and he's just a great example, right? Beyond a great player and person, he's such a good example for everybody else. He sets the tone. He's got a ton of experience. I just know, obviously, the news broke right 5 minutes before the game or right at game time. I can only imagine, as word will circulate around our clubhouse on the bench and so on, how excited guys are going to be. Like, I can guarantee you there's going to be a ton of smiles, ton of excitement. This guy is beloved, rightfully so.
How much do you remember him, just how, I mean, I knew him as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it to see what he's grown into?
Yeah, I remember when he was in A-ball, he was telling one of our coaches, "Hey, why am I still here? They're playing with my 3,000 hits. I got to get going, you know." And he's really funny, tremendous, great athlete. And you know, even when he was released by the Mets, I remember calling his agent. We had Brian McCann and Flowers. And I remember calling his agent saying, "I don't have a spot right now, but I want to find one. I want to find a way to get this guy and find a way to get him on the roster." You know, and just there was, you know, I was like, "If you can give me a few days, maybe something happens. Someone gets hurt. We'll bring him in as a 25th man," and so on. And look, he ended up going to L.A. and then Tampa. But look, we were able to get him that following that offseason, you know, and we were excited that he, I remember being on the phone with him and I won't say selling him on the organization, but really promoting the organization and what it was like and how his family's going to get taken care of and the coaches and that we're all about winning. And, you know, I believe that he feels like we've honored what we've said and he loves it here. He keeps wanting to come back. So, but, you know, guys like that make this place a great place, right? It kind of works both ways. Getting the Travis d'Arnaud's in here make this a more desirable place for teammates to play and guys to stay here. So, you know, I think it gets Max Fried to want to be here. I think it gets Charlie Morton to want to be here. It gets it's a carryover. When a guy like that commits to you for how well respected and how important he is, I think the value is through the roof. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's pretty much, you know, even though his roles changed, you know, we're compensating him the exact same way, you know, and it's similar structure to what we've been doing with Charlie Morton the last few years. And, you know, again, for us, it's, I remember telling him, you know, when we signed him, so this is the third time we've signed him, the second time was in 21. He'd just come off the IL. I remember telling him, I think the following spring, I don't even know what your OPS was. I don't even know what your stats were. I just know how valuable you are. And he caught every inning of the playoffs and so on. So I think, you know, obviously he's getting older and so on, but it just made sense for us for it to go that way. And, again, the hope and the expectation is that he's here as long as he wants to be here and he wants to continue to play, and that's certainly going to be our goal.
You mentioned the trade rumors, but when did this conversation kind of heat up for you guys?
Yeah, so I would say you know, we finished it today, but you know, I've had an understanding even from off season to spring training that at some point, you know, there was a desire to keep him. I told Travis, you're not going anywhere at all. I told his agent that as well, and that we both agreed there'd be a time we would have a conversation at some point, get it ironed out, get it worked out. You know, he had an option for 24 regardless, but there was going to be a conversation. So really, I'd say today. It really just moved today. It wasn't that complicated. And, you know, obviously I had to bring it to Terry and get it signed off on and then get Travis to sign off as well, and that just got done. And you know, the minute it gets signed and it's done, we announced the deal. But it came together fairly quickly. But there was always been an underlying understanding that he's going to be here and we were going to find a way to extend the relationship.
The last press conference and this one, like, was it that recently or how?
Yeah, I mean, we before the press conference, it was in the works, so there was conversation, I mean, about it. It wasn't done, but we were moving towards it. And then, again, just like with roster moves and so on, we only announce things when they're 100% done. You never know, right? So, yeah, we were today. There was a lot going on, but it was definitely something we were dealing with, and we got it done, you know, finalized and approved and everything else just before the game.
So there you had it. And if you heard that part, and that was the part I wanted to let you hear before I said anything about it. If you heard that part about getting guys extended and guys who want to be here like Travis, like Max Fried. So that tells me he's trying to get something worked out. Now, we'll see if it happens. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Max Fried stays here if he wants to be here. Max Fried is going to be compensated handsomely, but it's not going to be top market value. It's just not the way the Braves do business. And they're going to take care of their own. They're going to want to keep him. But they're going to look at it as what's in it for us. And at his age, Max Fried is going to have to decide, do I want to stay with the team and build something here and continue to be a part of it? Max Fried is what was he right now? He is 29 and I thought it'd be right there on the front page. I have to go inside. He was born in January. So he will be 30 at the end of next year, and he'll be 31 in 2025 when his next contract goes into play. Max Fried will also look at what's in it for me. He'll be 31. The one way around this with Max Fried is to offer him that typical 22 to 25 that they're normally at. Let's say they decide to do that, and let's say they say, hey, you commit to us right now, and we tear up the current contract, and we pay you more than what you would, anywhere close you would get to arbitration next year. Thing is, depending on how Fried finishes the rest of the year, it all goes off of war now. It all goes off of war. It no longer goes off of arbitration this, arbitration that. So all this stuff goes off of war. And what his war number will be. Now, he's missed a big chunk of the season. Huge chunk of the season. So his war is going to be a little lower, meaning his arbitration number is going to be lower than what it was last year. So that could play into an effect of getting Fried to get back into the idea of, hey, I'll sign an extension, but the only extension I want is if you're going to pay me more next year, because I'm not going to make nearly what. I want to say his number last year was a little less than 15. It was either 13 or 14. But with his war number now, I'd say his arbitration number is going to be well south of 10. You offer him that 22 clip for next year, along with 5 extra years on top of it. It may not sound like this great number to the average fan, but he's basically going to make, in the end, about the same that he would if he took the arbitration number and then left free agency. Now, whether or not he sees that, I don't know. But I do know this from following this stuff for the last several years and covering the winter meetings for the last, 10 years now we've been doing this. I always followed it, but until you follow it, until you cover it, like we do on a daily basis, you don't really get the full picture. So the last 10 years doing this, 10 years plus, I guess what it really is, but we'll just say for the last decade, he, at 31 years old in today's market, will be lucky to get a 5-year deal, which is what Carlos Rodon got, right? His was 5 years. His was, I want to say, 163, 166, somewhere in that neighborhood. So just over $30 million a year. But if Fried goes out and gets, so you're talking about 30-ish millions, 30-ish. And that was top of the market, and that was the New York Yankees. He's not going to get more than a 5-year deal, whoever offers it to him. Let's say they go out there and they say, hey, we're going to give you 6 years and we're going to give you, right around 140, under 150, somewhere in that area. He may take that. But if they let him get to free agency on the 5 years, the Braves, just, they're not going to pay the market value. So I'm hoping there's a meet in between. But for that to happen, I think they would have to extend him now, pay him handsomely next year, along with added on years. If they let him get to the end of the 2024 season, he's walking. Which means if they let him get to the end of the 2023 season, he could be traded. Because if he gets that far and nothing gets knocked out in, let's say, early November or whatnot, we'll even say December, we get out of the winter meetings and we head to January, in his mind's eye, he's going to say, and I got 6 months to pay dirt and I'm going to cash in. Now, he's going to take into consideration, I could get hurt, I could get this, I could get that. But then at that point, when you're about to be a free agent, these guys normally have career years, but also the simple fact is, if he does have anything that might be questionably ailing him, he's going to shut it down. So you're dealing with that as well. And I'm not saying Max Fried will quit on folks, per se. Big Max Fried fan. But I'm just saying we got to be realistic in what could or could not happen. And so, there you have that. As far as tonight's game, look, the Braves are going to come back in here. They're going to come out swinging. I expect them to put crooked numbers up again. I really do. And I think Charlie Morton will go out there and do Charlie Morton things. Braves are minus 235 on the money line. When I woke up this morning, it was just over minus 200. Around lunchtime, I checked it. It was minus 225. It's going up. So, folks think the Braves are going to bang. I think that you're going to see, look, this Ryan Nelson that they have going to the post tonight. For, by the way, Zach Davies went to the IL today, back injury. Arizona's doing some Atlanta Braves stuff. Guy gets bombed, you send him to the IL, say he's heard about it. I don't know. Ryan Nelson, by the way, if you're not familiar with him, comes in with a 5-5 at a 4.98. 1.44 whip. So he's constantly has ducks on the pond. He's given up 114 hits in 99 innings. Do that math. And he doesn't walk a whole lot. 99 innings, 29 walks. So we're talking about three every nine. So it's a little higher than you want, but it's not egregious. He's also not a big strikeout pitcher. I think the Braves are going to hang a big number on him. And I believe Charlie Morton's going to put a stop to this losing streak and give us a chance to possibly win this series tomorrow, which is an early pitch. Remember, that's 12:20 first pitch tomorrow. And we'll have it right here, but 12:20 first pitch. So a quick back-to-back, and it's Spencer Strider versus Zach Gallen as of right now. So could be a quick, low-scoring game is what I'm getting at. We know how the Braves' offense is during the day games. That sucker might be wrapped up in an hour and a half, man. They might just be out there playing pepper. Especially considering the fact that Atlanta's getting on a plane right after that. We know Arizona is, so they're both leaving the city. Braves have a series coming up in Milwaukee this weekend. Going to be a tough series. Milwaukee, first of all, Milwaukee's been good for a long time, but even when they don't have good teams, they play us tough. It's kind of funny how, I wonder if that was any kind of intentional, but it's kind of funny how the Braves are going to Milwaukee, then Boston, then come home and play Milwaukee. Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Boston, those are the three cities that the Braves have called home. And we've got a Once Upon a Pastime series coming up, by the way. We're going to talk about the Boston Braves. It's going to be on a different day, but I just want also wanted to make a note of it. Well, the Sarge is going to do a Once Upon a Pastime with us about the Red Sox curse next week. So there you have that. My pick to click tonight. You know, with all the runs, by the way, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn, right? I nailed the Riley pick to click. My God, 7 RBIs, home run. I mean, he just absolutely mashed yesterday. He raked. It's good to see Riley get back into the swing of things. And my, you know, when a guy comes off a 2 home run game and a double, 3 hit game, 3 for 5, 7 RBI is what he had. You want to pick him again, but I just kind of have a rule. I don't go back to back on pick to clicks. Just because I'm trying not to do the low-hanging fruit. The other thing is, it's really hard to hit a baseball. It's really hard to click 2 nights in a row. So I picked a click tonight with the right-hander on the mound. He's been a little quiet. I wouldn't call it necessarily a slump, but just a little quiet. I'm going to go with Marcell Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna, his batting average is, he's kind of scuffling around. I think Ozuna gets it done tonight. He's had a couple of swings in the last few games that you're like, man, he just missed that sucker. So give me Marcell Ozuna tonight for the click and the Braves win. I think we put another double digit. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game for Atlanta. Give me Braves 10-3. I think Charlie Morton's going to pitch a gem. And then we'll probably see one of the forget-me-nots coming out of the bullpen. All right, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of other things we haven't been able to get to today with a lot of Braves talk, and going to answer a question in the that I see in the chat. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country HD. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM WQEE and Braves Country HD YouTube.com/@Braves Country.
If you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Change approved.
It's important to remember the value of taking time for ourselves to do the things that help us grow and explore, like learning something new. And now with the Great Courses Plus, it's never been easier to experience the joys of learning. The Great Courses Plus offers thousands of streaming videos that cover hundreds of fascinating topics, from World War II to choosing the perfect wine. You can even take a course on the U.S. government or dealing with stress and anxiety. And because the Great Courses Plus partners with world-class professors and experts, you're always receiving thoroughly vetted, high-quality content from every lecture. Plus, you can watch or listen anytime, anywhere with the Great Courses Plus app. So take a little time for you. Sign up for the Great Courses Plus today. Visit thegreatcoursesplus.com to get started. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
The wives are all disgusted, and they're meeting in the yard on their way to where
welcome back.
All my credit cards.
We got a question in the chat asking, I'd love to know where you're asking this question from, but it says, if Lionel Messi walks the streets of the U.S. in supermarkets and stores, etc., will American people recognize him? Or will they have no idea who he is? Well, he's already been spotted in the supermarket in Florida. So obviously somebody recognized him, or they wouldn't have pulled out their phone and put it on, I don't know, Instagram or whatever the hell that it was on. So he's already been recognized. So obviously there will be something. Now, will everybody know? But not everybody's going to recognize everybody in most events, right? Because if you look at, I personally would probably recognize him, but I'll be honest with you. When I saw the video, I thought about that instantly. I was like, would I recognize him? And then I thought to myself, I think I would have to think about who he is because I'm not a huge soccer fan. Now, there are a lot of big soccer fans in the United States, obviously. It's the most popular sport in the world. It's not the most popular sport in the United States. It's not even close. That's a big misnomer. I've always contended soccer isn't as big in the United States as it is in other parts of the world because we have better sports here. I'm joking, soccer fans. Calm down. Don't at me. I'm joking. But, I mean, seriously, if you got Major League Baseball, the National Football League, you got college football, I'll even give you the NBA, March Madness, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, which I believe is this week. And I know we don't have it here, but we watch it. You have all these things. I'm sorry, but soccer is just, it's always going to take a back seat. It's not that it's some kind of lesser sport. I understand the appeal to soccer. Don't get me wrong. But when you have these other sports that we grew up on, there's just always going to be more of an affection for them. And that's our culture. Everyone's going to talk about culture this, culture that, culture this, culture that. That's the American culture. The American culture is give us liberty and give us freaking football on Sundays, baseball in the summers. By God, October's the greatest month of the year. And come March, we'll get into the March Madness, mainly because we are involved in office pools. You know one of the reasons why soccer's never going to be as dominant as other sports here in the United States? It's a really hard sport to gamble on. What are you gambling on? The over-under is, what, 0.5 in every game? I mean, come on. We don't have to have instant gratification in every sport. I love a well-pitched ball game. But you want the threat of something happening. And so that's why it always takes a back seat. But I think most people in the United States, I'll say the majority, will not recognize Lionel Messi. I think the majority of the big sports fans, like consume all sports, watch all sports outlets all the time, I think the majority of them would probably recognize him. They would definitely know the name. But if he walked by you in a store, would the average Joe? I don't know. That's a very good question. We might put that up in the we usually put polls up during the game. We might put that in the poll tonight on the play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch tonight because it's a pretty good question because I think I would recognize, but I also think I'd have to think about it. I'd be like, where do I know this guy from? And it would probably dawn on me as I'm walking out that's that messy cat. That's who that is. Would it change if he's constantly in a bunch of different commercials here? Yeah, if you see him in a bunch of different commercials, it's going to change. I don't know what his appeal will be. I think down in South Florida, give it a year and everybody's going to know who he is. Everybody. Because you're going to have him splattered across every, not just
every billboard, but you're going to have him splattered across every one of your social media sites. Every time you pick up something, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, anytime you pick that up in the South Florida area and they've pinged you, you're going to see Lionel Messi or some kind of advertisement to come watch him play. But I remember when David Beckham signed with Los Angeles and we were told that was going to change the sport. It was really going to really do some things. It didn't do anything. All it did was show us that older guys in soccer who have already made a buku of money are willing to come in here and play for much less because they want to live in the United States. And for everybody who thinks it's such a terrible place to live, think about that. Think about that. That's what it told me when I saw it. I didn't see him sign for some cheaper deal to go live in Canada, Australia. No, he came to the United States. But is he going to be more famous or as famous as LeBron James, as Patrick Mahomes? No. Tom Brady? No. You don't want someone who won't be able to walk down the street in a supermarket. It's Tom Brady. Everybody knows what that dude looks like. But then again, he's been in our eyesight on our TVs for years. I always say it's less likely for football players to become everyday known entities because you don't see their faces as much. You will see the quarterback. So that's the one outlier. But the other positions, a lot of these guys, you don't see very often. You might know their name. You might be a diehard fan of a team. You're like, yeah, I know this thing, but you have no idea what he looks like. Most fans don't know what the offensive guard is, what the offensive guard looks like for their favorite football team. Like be able to pick them out of a lineup? No way in hell. I don't. I consume sports. But you could ask me who a bunch of dudes are and say which of these guys play offensive line for the Falcons, the Jaguars, the Titans. Like, I don't know, the fat guy. I don't know who it is. You got me, dude. I'll know who some of them are, but not. I would fail that test. If you got to name five, right, and 80% is passing, I'm failing that test. I'd be lucky to get two or three. And one of them, I guarantee you, would be just a random guess. But I know what Sam Hilliard looks like. I know who Jesse Chavez is. Exactly what he looks like. Now that might be a little bad comparison because I'm such a big Braves guy. But I know Clayton Kershaw cannot walk by me and me not know who he is. JD Martinez. I don't watch Dodger games, but I know exactly who they are. Luis Castillo. I'd be like, whoa, there he is. Back in his day, Kobe Bryant. Even LeBron James, such a polarizing figure. So many people hate or love him. LeBron James couldn't walk by. You know, one of the other big reasons why most of the American athletes or athletes that play for American teams are very recognizable, most of them are huge. Lionel Messi's not a very big guy. So he's not going to stand out to you. But if Dirk Nowitzki walks by you, or the Joker, you're not necessarily going to, he's not going to grab your attention necessarily because he plays the NBA. You're going to go, wow, that dude's huge. He's got to be a basketball player. Same thing, if you've never walked up close and personal and seen Major League Baseball players and players in the National Football League and in the NBA, the majority of them are big guys nowadays. Now, yeah, you got the smaller ones like Jesse Chavez and whatnot, but you've got some big dudes. Matt Olson walks in to a room. That's a big boy. even Sean Murphy's just jacked, you're just going to go like, damn, who the hell is that? And you're going to instantly. But my point is I would know players from different teams. Football, I would be more likely to know the face of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Outside of that, it would have to be someone who probably did something dumb on social media. Or someone who plays a skill position that I'm very familiar with. Or someone who is involved in stuff that's outside the realm. Like Taylor Lewan of the Titans. I don't know if I would know what he looks like except for the fact that he's been bussing with the boys for I don't know how many years. And not to mention, dude's always on the IR, so we're constantly seeing him. But you know, Derrick Henry, I would know. I would know him instantly. But would I know most of the nose tackles playing in the National Football League? No. I would see him and go, I bet that is a nose tackle. Or that dude used to be. Or that dude missed a hell of an opportunity because he's huge. I would know Warren Sapp, but he did a lot of stuff outside of the game. So it's a good question about Lionel Messi. But one of the things why I think if I was to guess, I would say, especially today, he'd be pretty safe walking around and not getting recognized in most streets in America. But the longer he's here, the folks in Miami are going to know him. And then other MLS cities would definitely, you know, the Atlantas of the world. You'd be more familiar with them. The U.S. Women's National Team, the women's soccer, that's starting. Is that today or tomorrow? Whenever it is. I might be able to name three of them that have ever played. And I thought Rapinoe had retired, but then I saw something the other day where she said that this is her last time. And I'm like, God bless. I thought you were like 60. You're still playing. good luck. But I thought the last time was her last time. I'm not planning on watching it because they pick a very bad time to do this. You know, some of the stuff that they did that really ticked a lot of us off, I can kind of overlook that to a degree. Let bygones be bygones. Some of the stuff that they did that I just thought was just really tasteless. But you're going to try to get the women's, U.S. women's soccer. Let me see. When does it start? The U.S. Women's Soccer World Cup. I thought I saw July 20th. I'm right. July 20th. So that's tomorrow night. I don't even know where it's being played. It says they're playing at 9 p.m., so that's got to be way the heck over in the middle of nowhere. It looks like they're playing in New Zealand, maybe? I might have this wrong, but it shows New Zealand. I don't know if that's where the entire cup is at or if that's just a part of it. But they're playing Vietnam 9 o'clock tomorrow night. I know I'm not watching that. I'll be watching and doing the Braves game. Then they play Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And what the heck? Tuesday, August 1st, they're playing at 3 a.m.? Okay, I'm getting up for that one. Yeah, all right. I've heard of breakfast at Wimbledon. Breakfast with women's soccer. Good Lord. Only people getting up for that one, they're related to someone on the team. Or you've got one hell of a gambling problem. Jeez Louise. 3 a.m.? So I don't even know where. I guess I have to look it up now. I mean, if you're going to bring it up, you got to look it up, right? And one of the cardinal rules in radio, don't ask a question you don't know. If you're going to bring it up, look it up. I just see commercials where they're trying to tell you where it is. And it looks like that the Netherlands is where the actual, New Zealand and Australia. I think I said Netherlands. I meant New Zealand. So it looks like it's being played in Australia and New Zealand. I figured it was somewhere in the middle of nowhere because, you know, according to us Americans, right? But for them to become at 3 a.m., the 9 p.m. is not terrible. They really did it misjustice to put it on at 3 a.m. They do this a lot. I'm not just going to get on the World Cup. On any of these world stages with these tournaments, they do a very poor job of making sure Americans stay engaged. And what little of viewership that you're going to get for that, nobody's watching a game at 3 a.m. Absolutely nobody. And they've got, see, it's going to go for a month, which I think is about pretty, I think that's pretty standard. I want to say that the Men's World Cup does too. When the Men's World Cup comes around, I watch the U.S. and then the rest, it's just like background. It's fun to have on in the background. You look at it every once in a while, but I don't really get into it. Then once the U.S. gets knocked out, I get really uninterested. But if I know the championship game's on and I happen to be near a TV, I'll watch it. With the women, I'd like to see the U.S. win. And if they get into the later stages and it's not on a weird time, I might. Now, for me to say I wouldn't watch something, that's a lot to say because I normally have 5 to 6 devices going in my studio and from my studio where I can see different ball games and different entities. You can usually, you know, like right now I've got ESPN, ESPN2, I've got CBS Sports HQ, and I've got, what the hell is that back there? FS1. So for me to say I'm not going to watch any of it is probably disingenuous because if it happens to be on a station I have it on and it catches my eye and it's the U.S. playing all it. Now, if you tell me that it's two random countries I have no interest in, then no, I'm not going to keep it on for very long. But if the U.S. is playing and it happens to fall, the thing is it's on Fox. More of a chance of me catching it if it was on a sports network that's always got sports on. And the reason why I say that is it could be, we'll just take like an ESPN for example, and you've got it on because you're watching whatever beforehand and you leave it on, you leave the room, you come back, go, oh, okay, the women are on. You might dive into it for a minute. But the way things are set up nowadays with streaming devices, we no longer use cable and all that kind of stuff. There's not many times that I stumble across stuff anymore. I know exactly what channel I want to go to and I go to it. I know exactly what app I want to go to and I go to it. That's it. Hello to everybody in the chat. I saw something on Twitter at the break and I did want to bring it up. Where is it at? See, the Zach Davies thing. Here it is. Kyle Wright. I want to make sure I got all the stuff right on this. Kyle Wright will play catch on Friday off the mound. Then throw some shortened bullpen sessions early next week. And if all goes well, throwing normal bullpens by the end of next week. And if all that goes well, what they're saying is that the estimated time of arrival for Kyle Wright in a Atlanta Braves uniform and participating is now pushed to somewhere in September. They're hoping early September. This is Mark Bowman of MLB that's reporting this. But that's where you're at. By the way, Snicker has confirmed that Soroka, Michael Soroka, will likely start Friday. TBD for Saturday. But AJ Smith-Shawver would be on regular rest. And Jared Schuster, who was pitching well for the Braves, I don't know if they messed with his confidence. I don't know what the hell they've done. But he's only thrown 10 innings recently because they're trying to limit his innings. And he's given up 23 hits in those innings, 16 runs. So he's been getting bombed. But you can, it's always really hard to figure stuff out when the guys are down in the minors, because you don't know what they're working on. You don't know what they're being told to work on. But anyway, you cut it, that's not good. Shawver, I saw his numbers from last Sunday. They were okay. They weren't impressive. But I still think just like when you take a closer and you put them on the mound and your team's up by four or five runs and they just look flat, when you take a guy who's already been in the show and has seen the limelight, and has pitched decently, you take them out, it can all be between their ears at this point. Because if you're sitting there and you are A.J. Smith-Shawver, you're Jared Schuster, and you're watching what we've watched, the first thing that has to be going through your mind, whether you're ever going to say it, and you're probably never going to say it publicly, you may not even say it to anybody, but you're saying it under your breath. I know if I was Shawver, I was Schuster, and I saw Allard and I saw Soroka out there doing what they've done, I'd be like, what? This is what I got sent down for? The thing is, Soroka always gets a pass. Because Braves fans, they don't want to say anything down about him because everyone fell in love with him back when he was really good. Now he's really not. Maybe he'll change, but usually if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck and throws like a duck, you got a lame duck. And I don't necessarily think that he is done. But I think he's got a long way to go, and he should have stayed down in AA, AAA, and worked on a lot of things this year. I still say there's something to do with the fact that Michael Soroka, if you look at the fact that they brought him up when they did, they are trying to show him off as a showpiece for possibly moving him, maybe not this season, but in the offseason. Because if they can get something, he has one arbitration year left. One. And then he's an unrestricted free agent. And he'll get a base salary next year, pretty cheap. But the highest you will ever get Michael Soroka return is right now. You give him to someone and they go, wow, we get Soroka and we can work on him between now and the tail end of next year. And we could possibly even talk him into an extension if they really believe in the guy. This is the highest value. Second highest value is going to be in the wintertime. You let it get next to next year, and he's only got a few months of control left. Yeah, just you might as well hold on to him. But I say it once, say it again. Shawver deserves to be there. I mean, why did we bring him up? 20 years old, firing bullets, and we just brought him, sent him back down. Okay, you're trying to manage his innings. Okay. But big picture, why did we bring him up? Not to be in the background. Unless they decide to put him in the bullpen for the tail end of the season, and that could be their mindset. But why did you bring him up if you weren't gonna? So to me, you look at this. Let's just live in fairy tale land and say that we're gonna sign Max Fried long term. Let's just, I'll go ahead and bite.
Okay.
It'll be Fried, Strider. Next year, at least, it'll be Charlie Morton because they'll pick up that option. Kyle Wright, you hope. And then Shauver, where in the world does Michael Soroka fit into that? Because you could still continue because you've got so much control left on Jared Schuster. Dylan Dodd feels like a guy they're going to trade. He feels like a guy that we've seen has not been that good. He's okay, but he doesn't have elite stuff. And he feels like a guy that even though a lot of us like him, and I'm one of them, it's more like you're pulling for him. I don't know if you're necessarily, you know, gun to your head, you know, oh, I like him. I think he's great. Let's build around him. No, it's not that. It's more of, eh, pulling for him. But I was pulling for Bryce Wilson, and how the hell did that work out? It just seems like that Dodd could be a guy that, maybe not this year, but he could be a guy that's going to be a part of a piece. Because what they continue to do, and it's worked, is as these guys get closer and closer to the end of the road of their contract, they trade for much younger so they can develop down and let's keep the train moving. And you build around. That's why it seems highly unlikely to me that we're ever going to get anything worked out for Max Fried. Because Max Fried, the best thing you could do with Max Fried is you trade him, get a few young, very young but promising prospects back, and you start building your core for the future along with getting something that you can use right now that maybe has a little more control. You trade him to a team that thinks that they can extend him, but you get a little more control from someone else. And they look, this type of stuff that we dive into during the hot stove season, there's just not enough time to do that right now. But there's a handful that I've looked into that kind of fit that bill. But the Braves aren't trading Max Fried this year. That's obvious. The question is, do they hold on to him to next year? If they don't extend him, do they hold on to him? Or do they go, well, we got to reset the clock. Max, you're going here. We're going to get a guy with 2 or 3 years of control and maybe a couple of prospects, and we'll start building again. Gave you my pick to click earlier. Let me go ahead and do the lock of the days. We're coming up on the end of the show. Remember, tonight, 7:05 first pitch, you've got the Chattahoots right here on WQEE. Against the Aviators, 7:05 first pitch, 6:50 the pregame show. And tonight on Braves Country HD, 7:20 first pitch, you've got Braves versus Arizona. Our pregame show normally comes on around 6:30-ish. Let me take a look at this. So, already picked a couple of games before the show started, because there's a lot of day games. I've already hit a couple. But let me go. I'll tell you what. I like the idea of it's just under the wheelhouse. Give me Carlos Rodon and the New York Yankees on the road against the Los Angeles Angels and Chase Silseth. I think Rodon will go out there and pitch well. So give me the Yankees. It's -149. Just we're always like -150 or less. It's just in the wheelhouse. Let me get that. The one that I got earlier, but it's just over it now. The one that I really like, if you're interested, -153. E-Rod, Detroit Tigers in Kansas City facing Ryan Yarbrough. I think Detroit's going to pound it tonight, but it's just past our threshold. And I don't give a lot of run lines as my lock. All right, that'll do it for us. We will see you mañana, 12:20 first pitch, Braves, Arizona. Then after that will be the post-game show with Doug, Steven, and Joey. Y'all have a good day. Keep it locked in here on the Key. Or if you're on Braves Country HD YouTube, keep it locked in here. We're going to keep the stream up as always, and we will see you first pitch. Go Braves, baby! We got to even up this series. I'm on. What the heck's going on around here?
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey, can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.